think they earned this week?
You know, he's practicing right now. You know, I think it's going to come down to, you know, a call maybe Friday or Saturday. I know he's moving around pretty good. He's like in the minor leagues, you know, getting ready for the majors right now. And we'll just have him do some scout stuff. And so he moved pretty well, you know, from that standpoint.
Do you have any concerns about Williams' durability? You know, he's a, 213-pound guy, which, you know, he's not 230 or 235, but he's a real physical runner. Do you have any concerns there?
Yeah, you do because, like you said, because of the style of his play, you know, with being about, you know, 215. But, you know, the thing about it, when I'm running so low, that gives him a chance to really protect himself, you know, so he doesn't, you know, take a ton of shots. You know, only every once in a while you may see a linebacker get up underneath him. But for the most part, because of his pad level, you know, he doesn't take a whole bunch of shots. So that helps him.
Talk about his style of play. He hadn't shown an explosive game like he did again on the screen pass until then. Surprised you at all? Did you know that he had that extra gear that he showed?
Well, you see it in practice. But obviously he really, you know, obviously, you know, took off and turned it on during that screen. But you've seen some glimpses of it in practice. I mean, I know from the combine and, you know, from our guys testing him out, I mean, he was in the 4.5s. So he's got pretty good speed, you know, based off of those things. But he just got to get the, you know, he's still waiting for the long run, you know, besides just the screen, which will come.
Is it going to be a difficult decision to figure out what to do there with whenever Aaron Jones comes back? And it's this week, it might be next week, but he's going to come back to figure out how to disperse the carries between him and Williams?
Well, it's kind of something that we're, you know, kind of looking forward to, especially now that, you know, again, you got two different styles, but, you know, both guys have shown that they have their own methods of moving the chains, and I think that they can, you know, work together. Now one guy isn't getting overloaded so they can stay fresh. I think that will be more productive and lead to more production for the offense. It's actually a formula that I'm kind of looking forward to figuring out.
How good do you think they can be together, and how do they play off each other?
I think they'll work well with each other. I think, you know, it may be a deal. We haven't really talked about it yet where one guy gets this series or there'll be certain plays sometimes that you may want to run with one guy as opposed, you know, to the other. So it's, you know, I think we'll figure it out from that standpoint. You know, the one thing about it is, I mean, is I guess you can say that the most challenging thing about it is you want, you know, if a guy is really hot, you know, you want to keep, you know, keep working them in and make sure you keep feeding them. As opposed to, like, if he's hot, then you take him out for a long time, now he gets cold, which we just got to figure that part of it out in terms of, you know, how those guys, you know, manage their games.
And in your experience, what do you think of the concept of I get stronger as the game goes on or with more carries? Is that legit?
I think it's based on a running back. You know, okay. Some guys, like, once they get lathered up, and, you know, into a groove, you know, with a game where they start to automatically get themselves, you know, in that zone area. I mean, I think there are backs that can feed into that, where that helps them, especially because if they're wearing the defense down, now the defense is also getting worn down, which, you know, helps lead to their production. And then there's other guys that, you know, it doesn't matter. I mean, they stay at one pace all the time. You throw them in there on the fifth play, and then the next rep is – you know, the 15th play, they're the same type of guy. All right, so I've seen guys like that, you know, that I've coached that, you know, the more and more you play them, the stronger they get. But most of the guys are, you just throw them in there and they produce.
So do you think Jamal's one of those guys?
I think he seems to be, you know, because if you see him play his energy, I mean, it always stays at one, you know, at one pace. And obviously he's played a lot of football. You know, and you want to try to monitor him just a little bit like you would any back. But, I mean, you look at him from that last, you know, the last couple of series. I mean, he still has a lot of energy. And I think as he has success, you know, it just gets to his mental. I mean, on the sidelines, I mean, he's still, I mean, is energetic, is ready to go. I mean, you can still see him. I mean, he's probably even dancing around sometimes. So you guys have seen that. But I think he is one of those guys. The more he plays, the stronger he gets.
Given that, does it make it that much more important to make sure he's still getting carries and consistent playing time with Jones?
Yeah, I think he's definitely put himself in a position where he deserves that. And not just the fact that he deserves it, but because of his production, we know it will help us. I mean, because he's more of a, you know, move the chains, you know, type running back. And as you know, the more you move the chains, the closer you get to the end zone, which puts you in position to score. So that's kind of, you know, his style. So we have faith in him, especially after seeing him operate over these last two games, that, you know, he can help us win games, just like Aaron can.
Do you like you have to use Rutkowski a little bit as the third down back? You still feel real comfortable using him in that?
Yeah, I think especially like when you look over the, you know, over the last, you know, last couple of games, you know, with, you know, Ty and Aaron, you know, not being available. You know, the good thing about Jamal is he's a true three-down back. You know, I mean, he can play in all three downs. He's a good receiver out of the backfield. He can pass protect. He knows who he has. So when he's not in there, you know, Rip is the next best guy for us to put in there for those. And plus he has experience with it from last year.
You look from a production standpoint, Jamal as a receiver has produced a lot more than Aaron Jones. Is he ahead of Aaron when it comes to the receiving aspect right now? Or
no, I just think it's just opportunity because, you know, Aaron is a really good receiver out of the backfield as well. I mean, even if you just think about even the one Dallas play when A-Rod was scrambling, you know, and he did a great job set and settled the linebacker. Caught that ball, you know, that was almost on the ground, went down to get it and got us close to the first down. So, I mean, he's got a lot of really good receiving skills also. I think it was just more from a production standpoint, just the opportunities more than anything.
What happened to the ball on the sideline that Jamal dropped? You know,
I mean, yeah, he just – I mean, we watched that. I saw the TV version. Although, I mean, that's definitely a ball that he's capable of catching for sure. I mean, it's almost like he kept his hands up there and he said he kind of lost it. But, you know, that's a routine because he's got really good hands. You know, I don't know if you even see the, you know, the game footage on that. I mean, I'm like, you know, getting ready because I know it's going to be a catch. So I was pretty surprised by that because that was a great reaction by him, you know, with Britt scrambling out. And all of a sudden he turns it up. He's got the linebacker ball about two steps, and that was a big play, missed opportunity.
Was there anything fundamentally you would have had him change?
I mean, really probably not, you know, because he kind of threw his hands up there kind of early. I think if he would have kept running the track and then brought him up right as the ball was coming towards his hands, that would have gave him a better chance to catch it because he had him in the right spot. Over the head catches, you want to go pinky to pinky, so that part of it was good. I just think that he probably could have brought his hands up maybe just a little bit later as he tracked it.
And then we haven't talked to you since the Baltimore game, and obviously, you know, Devontae had a pretty tough start.
Yeah.
What do you as a coach? I mean, you got a demand, and he obviously didn't do well enough. But you also know that he's a kid who you want to keep his confidence, or figure out a way to get his confidence back. How did you handle that with him?
Told him why, you know, explain to him, you know why he fumbled the ball. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. It should have been a more of a toss play, you know. So with the way he ran the play, you know, he was already put himself in a bad position, you know, from that standpoint. And then, you know, because he had the ball high and tight, but I just showed him that it was a circumstance with a guy that had him as he's trying to secure the tackle, you know, basically had more momentum than he did and really just, you know, pushed his hand down as he tried to bring it up. That's when the ball popped out. And I just told him, hey, when that situation, if you know that a defender, if he's on the same arm that you have the ball, you got to bring the other arm around, you know, to help keep it secure. So it was more of explaining to him fundamentally what he did wrong in both cases, you know. So having seen that, I said, so you can see this is truly correctable. It wasn't just a case where you were just being careless with the football. Nobody wants to fumble, you know. So then you got to get to start to tell him about, you know, different circumstances that you might have experienced or other guys have experienced. And he's been great, you know, in practice in terms of, you know, he's real obviously really, really down for a couple of days, you know, after the game. But, you know, he's back to practice in the right way and waiting for his, and being eager for his next opportunity.
So What story did you go in your archives to tell him?
Well, one of the things I even brought up, you know, one of the things that happened with one of the rookies this year, who put the ball on the ground his first, you know, his first carry, but then went on to have a great day, you know. And then we had other guys that on the staff and even in the scouting department that explained their first, you know, couple of experiences with the ball. You know, so just to make kind of reassure them that, you know, hey, these things happen. This is not you. You're a better football player than this now. You just got to recalibrate and move on.
From a trust standpoint, as bad as it is to fumble for running backs, I know it's the cardinal rule, is it even worse when he doesn't know the play, when the cause is because he didn't know what the play was? Is it even harder to trust going forward?
Well, I think even just, you know, just with that situation for him in terms of them, the trust factor is, I mean, you feel good about the guys, you know, when you go through practice and they're doing, you know, they're doing the correct things at the right times, that's when you develop your trust in them. I mean, that's why he was in there. I mean, he's had a great week of practice this week of, you know, doing the right things with his assignments. And it always comes down to me in practice is, hey, you know, believe what you see. And meaning, believe what you see in practice. So if a guy's operating correctly in practice, I mean, you go in the game feeling like, you know, hey, this guy, he should be good and ready to go.
Ben, we've peppered you with questions about, you know, your two rookies, Aaron and Jamal, and production they've had. We've kind of forgotten about Ty. I know he's working his way back from the ribs, but he's done some good things for you. What can you get from him maybe down the stretch once he's ready to go again?
I think the biggest thing with Ty is just, you know, I talked to him about, you know, being more of a weapon, you know, and not just a running back, meaning that he's got, you know, a skill set that the other guys don't have, and still having the ability to be productive in the backfield and being split out because he knows all the signals that the wide receivers know. I mean, so he was a great tool for the quarterbacks, especially a guy like Aaron, because, you know, you even see now, even today, we'll split even guys like Aaron and we'll split guys like Jamal out as receivers. They're not as in tune to all the different checks that Ty is. And, you know, quarterbacks like Aaron know and understand that. So, I mean, there's been times he's used them in that capacity. So those are probably the biggest things that he'll continue to bring to the table that will help us.